Contrary to what you might have heard earlier in this week, Sergeant Bo Bergdahl has not been charged with desertion, at least not yet. Bergdahl left his post in Afghanistan and was held prisoner by the Taliban for 5 years. He was returned to the United States in a prisoner exchange last May. Multiple media outlets reported desertion charges had been handed down or were impending, but the Army says no decision has been made just yet. Brian Bouffard is a military defense attorney, former JAG, and he joins me now. Brian, good morning. Great to have you back.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me.
All right. So how long does General Milley have to make this decision, and why is it taking so long, do you think?
Well, just kind of like everything else in this case, there's really no deadline on General Milley at all. He can take basically as long as he wants to. Why this whole thing has taken so long is a little bit obscure to me because, as you know, they did a lot of this investigation back in 2009 when then PFC Bergdahl left his post or was absent from his post. So a lot of that's been done. This has taken quite a while, and I would hang it on the peg of just the fact that it's been politicized by the White House.
I mean, is the issue that, well, okay, we can get back to that, but the issue could be this, and tell me if I'm right or wrong here. Someone walks off their duty post. That's one thing. The question
right.
then is, did he walk into the arms of the Taliban and say, here I am, guys, or did they capture him when he was
exactly.
going into the woods to have a toke?
Right, and that's what we don't know. When I say we, I mean those of us who are getting our information from the media on this thing. We don't know that. We don't know what General Dahl's investigation has found on that score, and certainly that is a pretty big ticket item when it comes to deciding what, you know, whether to charge Bergdahl and then how to charge him.
So it could be, I mean, I guess, give us the legal definitions here. Are there degrees of desertion?
Well, there are. When someone's absent from their post, and that's all you know, what you probably have is an unauthorized absence, or otherwise known as an AWOL case. And that just means you're supposed to be somewhere, you're not there, and it's your own fault. If they can prove that when Sergeant Bergdahl or PFC Bergdahl absented himself, if they can prove that he had the intent at that time to stay away permanently, then they can prove desertion. And that's when, you know, the stakes can get a lot higher, although, you know, in this case, even though a capital death penalty case would be authorized if they charge desertion under these circumstances, I don't think there's really any realistic chance that that happens.
And there's really been no military capital punishment carried out, probably 60 or 75 years, correct?
Well, it was back in the late 1960s, and that was the last time. And I believe we have about 8 military prisoners on death row right now. And the reason why we haven't had any executions is because it does require the president to personally sign off on that death warrant. And no president has been willing to do that since the late 60s.
All right. So then review what General Milley's possible options here are for Bergdahl.
Well, General Milley, like any other convening authority, he has extremely wide discretion about what to do about any kind of disciplinary issue. So it literally can range from nothing at all. I mean, he can just say, hey, I don't think there's anything here. Let's all just move on. Or he could say this needs to be a felony-level general court-martial, and I'm going to refer it as capital because I think Sergeant Bergdahl needs to be put to death. That literally is the range of his options. So what I would predict reasonably is that I think Sergeant Bergdahl ultimately ends up at either a special or a general court-martial charged with either unauthorized absence or desertion. Now, if there's more there related to how he behaved with the enemy, you know, again, we don't know that at this point.
We're speaking with Brian Bouffard. He's a military defense attorney and former JAG. And so could part of the problem in deciding this case be that there's really only one witness, and that would be Sergeant Bergdahl himself? He can't really ring up the Taliban and ask them their side of what happened.
That's true. And, you know, in lots of criminal prosecutions all over the country every day, juries have to decide what was inside the mind of a person, what was in the mind of the defendant when the defendant committed whatever act they believe he committed. So what they can do is rely on circumstantial evidence. And some of the circumstantial evidence in this case would involve what, if anything, did Sergeant Bergdahl leave behind when he left? Did he write emails? Did he make statements to other people indicating one thing or another that would shed light on where his mind was when he decided to leave?
And earlier you said the White House had politicized this whole thing. How do you mean?
Well, I'm concerned, just as somebody who's interested in justice being done, I'm always concerned when the powers that be tend to try to align themselves with one side or the other. And in this case, it was disturbing to me that President Obama kind of got, you know, a little cozy with the family and may have made some decisions before being fully briefed on everything that the Army knew at that time. So my concern is that, you know, we trade five senior Taliban commanders for this young man. We bring him back only to prosecute him. That could be embarrassing for the president. I personally don't think that it is, because even if we did know that he'd done something wrong, I think that it's the right thing to do to bring him back and let him face real justice and not just brutal mob Taliban justice.
And so does any of this affect a commander who has to make the decisions in this case? Is the political tone or tenor have any effect on what happens in military justice gears of action?
Well, I wish I could say no, but you know, realistically, everybody involved in this process, other than the president himself, everybody else involved in this process has a higher pay grade that he or she would probably like to attain. And when you get into the rarefied air of general officers and flag officers, sometimes those concerns can be magnified and an impulse created to just do what the boss wants me to do.
Now, there have been a lot of published reports. First, initially, they were saying that this is going to happen. He's going to be charged with desertion. And then they've pulled back and said now they expect that. Could the military somehow be trying to send out trial balloons? Not so much that they would base their verdict on what the reaction is, but just to kind of let it out in a way that it wouldn't be so explosive when it did come out.
I think that's possible. I think that's well within the realm of possibility. Do I think that's actually happening here? Kind of hard to say. The report that he had been charged, for all I was able to tell, came from one person, a retired lieutenant colonel. I have no idea what he would know or how he would know it. So I kind of took that with a grain of salt.
And if you look back over the past 10 years of Iraq and Afghanistan, a little longer maybe, and maybe not over yet, what are there any other cases that can give us any guidance into desertion in the context of these particular wars?
Not anything real recently that I'm aware of. You know, back in World War II, and certainly on occasion in Vietnam, we had these cases. But to my knowledge, there were no cases like that were heavily publicized. Eddie Slovak back in World War II is one example of one that might have been, but that case didn't even really get handled, you know, properly to begin with. So, at least in the modern era, this is a fairly unique situation, and it's going to be very interesting to see how it continues to develop, even though it's been going so slowly.
And as a matter of process, if the general says, "Okay, the charge is desertion," then that has to be there would be a court-martial trial following that. Correct?
Correct. If he gets whatever the general thinks that he needs to be charged with, they will write that up on a charge sheet. And if it is considered to be a felony level type situation, in other words, where they are going for something that could get him a year or more of confinement, then they'll go through another investigative process called an Article 32 investigation. And that's going to drag the process out, you know, even more.
So the final disposition of Bo Bergdahl could be probably a year off.
Could very well be. Well, you know, let me amend that. The final disposition could be more than a year off, because if he goes to court martial, he gets convicted, he's going to have an appeal of right, and there will be a fairly lengthy appellate process looking over the case to make sure that everything was done properly, and that can take a very long time.
But that all happens within the military justice system. He has no recourse to courts outside, correct?
Generally correct, although the military appellate system ends potentially at the U.S. Supreme Court, just like every other appellate case. So ultimately, if there's an issue that would merit the Supreme Court grabbing it and taking a look at it, then it could ultimately end up there.
All right. Brian Bouffard is a military defense attorney, former Navy JAG. Thanks so much for that update.
Tom, thank you so much.